This is what happens when you think outside the box.
Bro, there goes the finish, you shall not give. God is a huge part of who I am.
So basically, 2 + 2 equals egg.
I just remember one time in high school, they told us it was not convenient to play football.
Shido by day at SF at night.
But your pastor is not your daddy.
As a Nigerian, you're born with 5 to 10 aunties and uncles by default.
Sorry for your life.
It's gonna be vibes.
It's display.
I don't think they're ready.
What up, people? Welcome to the Unsaid Podcast. It's another episode. How's everyone doing? Thank you for those people who actually responded to my last email and told me how they were doing. I was really impressed. Like, you guys, I have some obedient fans. I was really impressed. Anyways, how's everyone doing? Welcome to the Unsaid Podcast, another episode. Recently, I've had to come to terms with certain things. I've been in denial for a couple months now. Weeks, actually. Not months. I've been in denial for a couple of weeks. There's actually been a lot going on around me. Like a lot. And I have been in serious denial because I've been telling myself that, well, you know, I got everything on deck. Like, I'm good. Like, you know, I have everything under control. But the last week, whoosh, I have failed in so many things. Like I said, so many targets, couldn't meet half of them. Did a terrible job. I haven't done well. I haven't been as consistent on the podcast. That's one thing for sure. And not like it's my fault, right? Life just happens. And sometimes life happens and you really can't do much about it. So, this is me trying to console myself and tell myself that I can, you know, like, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to fail. Actually, it's okay to fail. But yeah, anyways, whatever. Trust everyone's doing great, man. Of course, I trust everyone is safe. And if you're listening to this, you're probably safe. Hopefully, definitely are safe, because I honestly don't know what's going on in Nigeria. I don't know what's going on in the world, really, because there's bombings, there's all kinds of stuff happening. Obviously, there's COVID. There's another lockdown in Nigeria. Quite frankly, they said it's phase 4. I don't know when we did phase 2 and 3, but that's for their pockets. But yeah, I hope everyone's safe, man. Of course, as well, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of kidnappings. Really don't advise anyone to be going out, but I trust my legal chance not to listen. But I owe it to you all to tell you guys that I really don't advise you all to be going out at night. Just friendly advice. Please, everyone, just be safe. If you don't have to go out at night, whether you have police or not, just stay at home. It's not necessary. Because there's a lot happening at this point. If you can bring the fun to your house, please do. If you can avoid going out, please do, especially at night. For example, I used to jog at night a lot, but recently I had to stop because, like, I'm not even trying to be outside my house once it's past 7 o'clock, man. That's just the reality of things at the moment. Hopefully things change. Encourage everyone to please just stay safe. Of course, keep your face mask on. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, please go get the vaccine when you can. Hopefully everyone's good and we move. So today's episode, today's going to be kind of like a solemn episode, I'm not going to lie, because it's a sensitive topic for me, and recently I actually lost a friend to something that was propagated by poor mental health. And as someone who has, in recent months, I won't say I've suffered with it, but I've had my mental health on the ground in the last couple of months, like probably like my lowest period in my life mentally. I'm better now and I can admit that, but it was really tough, man. And I lost a friend a couple weeks, like almost a week now today, to something that I believe could have been avoided. And it's tough. It was very tough, very, very tough. So I just want to speak about mental health real quick. First thing I want to say is, as a man, and I'm not even trying to be gender biased, it's just a reality, it's how society has us wired. As a man, I can speak for men because I am a man. As a man, we do not have the privilege or the luxury, more often than not, of addressing these things openly. That's because of the stupid, dysfunctional idea that men shouldn't cry, or men are supposed to be strong, or men are supposed to be, I don't know, whatever they call us, right? And though that might have some significance, right, in little areas here and there, as by men being the providers and men being the breadwinners and all of that stuff, even though that's all cultural, if you ask me. Well, cultural and spiritual, so I wouldn't go into that. But the point is, what really is the definition of strength? Like, who really defines strength? Like, where do we get our definition of strength from? Because for me, sometimes it's so lopsided. It's like, so I'm not strong if I cry, or I'm not strong if I don't have an answer for everything, or I'm not strong if I can't provide for a woman, or like, who defines these things? Like, what makes one strong? And I think that each individual has to do a session of self-reflection where they define what their own strength is. And I'll make it practical, right? So there was a time where, you know, I couldn't say no to certain things that I consider to be vices. I couldn't say no to them. Like, I just couldn't. Like, I was addicted to all kinds of stuff. I couldn't say no to them. And now I can say no. For me, that is strong. That is strong. Like, that's strength. For me, that transition between being able to say no and now not even touching any of those things or going near them, has that, for me, that's the definition of strength for me. Because I have been able to stand my ground on what it is that I want to do, and I've been able to go forward with it. So when people speak about, you know, men having to be strong and having to do this and having to do that, like, we just put unnecessary pressure on ourselves. Pressure that we don't need. Pressure that we can do without. And we start to carry the weight on the world, of the weight of the world on our shoulders. And it's just like, we don't need it. We really don't. And I know this is general rhetoric about mental health going on nowadays, but I still don't feel like we speak about it enough. And like I said, as someone who, I mean, I've had my periods, right, where it was up and it was down. But like this year, I really had a very low period. And it was just like, wow. Coming out of it, not saying that I'm totally out of it, but coming out of it and being able to sort of like crawl out of that period really showed me how deep it was. And I remember, because I had to share the experience with some people recently, and mine was really bad. I mean, I'm not even trying to compare, but mine was bad because I was having suicidal thoughts. At some point, I had to stop jogging, because I usually would jog on, I would jog on Birdie Lawn, along the courtyard, jog on the bridge. And at some point, I had to stop jogging because there was a particular day that I went to jog. And I was just thinking, and I was thinking, and I had all these thoughts going through my head. And I was literally almost crying on this bridge. And I literally was about to be like, no, I was like, I did say it, man, like, I it's okay if I die. Like, I literally said to myself, just run in front of the cars. Like, just, no one loves you. Like, just run in front of the cars. And I don't know how I got out of that, because it was a real, there was a real urge. Like, it was a real thing. Like, I promise you, like, I've never felt anything that real in my life. Like, it was a real thing. And I was already jogging, so my heart rate was up, and I was already like, it was bad. It was really bad. And so it took me like a couple months. I had to stop jogging for a couple months, because I would have those flashes, and I would imagine myself being on the road and like just jogging and just wanting to jump in front of a car. Like, it was real. Like, it was actually real. So when people speak about mental health and, you know, being suicidal, like, I know to some degree what it actually means. And it's not a joke. Now, the thing about it is, because I had to do some research, and I have done some research, and I've spoken to people. The thing about it is, sometimes, actually a lot of the time, it's progressive, right? It's progressive. You just don't go from one day being great to the next day being suicidal. It's usually very progressive. That's how it works most times. I'm sure they're the exceptional ones where something happens in one moment, like bam, and then you're off, right? That's just me putting it lightly, but most times it's progressive, and you have to be able to notice the progression. And so I'm not speaking for people who, I mean, I am, in the sense that if you're already going through a tough time, this probably would help. But if you are not going through a tough time at the moment, but you see yourself progressing, I think that some of the things that I will say are going to help. And I'm going to give personal experiences and some of the things that I've researched upon, right? So I'm just going to give a few tips on how to, you know, how to deal with mental health issues and like the difficulties that you might go through, right? So the first thing is, don't expect everyone to understand. Now, this is a hard fact, man, because we human beings, we thrive off sympathy. We thrive off, you know, when people understand what we're going through. We thrive off that empathetic feeling that we get from people, where it's like, oh, I'm going to tell this person my problem, and this person's going to understand, and this person's going to be like in my head, and they're going to understand how I feel, and they're going to know everything to say and the right things to say and how to make me feel and what to make me do and what to tell me to say, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I feel great after. Like, sometimes that happens, but recently I've had to understand that that's not always the case, man. You might end up telling one person who doesn't understand, and you hope for them to understand, and you're just like, oh, I cancel everyone because nobody understands what I feel. But really, the truth is, that actually is not the reality. That person might not understand, but believe you me, there's someone who understands. Now, that's not to say you should keep on going from person to person to try and find who understands. No, what I'm saying is, you have to accept the reality, come to terms with the fact that not everyone is going to understand. So that helps you to lower your expectations from people. So you don't expect people to always understand what you're going through, because not everyone will understand. So you might have someone who understands certain things and doesn't understand certain things. You might have someone who doesn't understand anything at all. And you might be lucky to have someone who just understands everything. Like, I've had to learn this myself, right? Because I have a friend who, you know, we hit kind of a rough patch recently. Because she just kept on saying, you don't understand, you don't understand, you don't understand, right? And for a while, I felt really bad because, first of all, I thought I understood. And second of all, like, I really wanted to understand what she was going through. But when I started to accept that, first of all, it's not my mandate to understand everything. It's my mandate to be able to sympathize. There's two different things. Like, I might not understand what you're going through. I might not have a clue what you're going through. But I will make myself available for you if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to just cry with, if you need someone to just sit down with, if you need someone to give you a laugh. Like, that's what I'll do. But the point is, like, we as individuals go on and place that burden on people to always understand what we're going through. And that usually will backfire because we can't expect everyone to understand. Because we expect them to understand and they don't understand, and we just end up being upset. More upset than we were initially. Because, like, you don't understand, and then nobody understands, and then it's a spiral, downward spiral from there. So don't expect everyone to understand. I remember when I had like my rough patch, like my difficult period earlier on in the year, the first person I spoke to clearly did not understand. They clearly did not understand. And I was so upset. Like, I was so mad. Like, I kept on telling that person, like, yeah, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. But inside, I was so upset because I'm like, this guy just doesn't understand it. But then luckily enough, I was able to pull around some of my other friends, and then they understood, and I felt better. But it before I spoke to my other friends, I had to come to terms with the fact that, look, not everyone will understand. And that's fine. And that's totally fine. You don't cancel people because they don't understand what you're going through then and there. You really don't. Like, it's great if you want to, but I wouldn't advise you to. Because like I said, it's not their mandate to understand. Like, you can't say you must understand what I'm going through. No, because first of all, I'm not in your body. I don't come from the same background you came from. I don't have the same problem you have. If I do, probably not the same level of gravity. Like, I interpret things differently. I see things differently. It's not my duty to understand. What I can do for you is be there for you, but it's not my duty to understand. So when you don't place expectations on people to understand, it helps you to lower your expectations so you don't get disappointed. And it actually helps the other person because then they don't feel the weight of, oh, I must understand. Their responsibility just becomes to be sympathetic. So that's the first thing that I noticed that, you know, I needed to work on. The second thing is, obviously, it always helps to have someone who you gel with, someone who you can run to in times of trouble. So you really should try and find someone who you can have like as an accountability partner. Now, in the midst of accepting that not everyone is going to understand, I promise you that there is at least one person who you can sort of find comfort in, right? So usually this would have been someone you've gone through a series of things with before, or someone you know who has gone through a similar thing. I'll give you an example. So right, if I was dealing with heartbreak, for example, or if I was cheated on by someone I was seeing, right, and I have a friend who has been cheated on before, chances are I'm likely to go towards that person to go and seek help. But if I'm cheated on and I have a friend who has a thriving relationship and loves her boyfriend and her boyfriend loves her and they've been going on for 3-4 years, what business do I have going to that person? Like, no business, because that person hasn't been through what I've been through. That person hasn't walked the same path that I've walked in. That person has no idea what it feels like to be cheated on because they've been in a thriving relationship all their entire life. So their advice, well, they might, you know, be like, oh, you know, do this, but they really are not talking from a position of understanding or from a position of experience. Like, it's all just head theory. And the thing about it is, when you're going through tough times, you don't need someone to be giving you theoretical, oh, if you do X and do Y, you get Z. Nah, you need someone to actually give you a trusted, a real life changing talk or comfort. Like, someone who has been there. There's something about just having been there. When you've actually been there, it's like, it's amazing. I remember one of my friends telling me that, you know, he broke his arm once and he wasn't able to do certain things. And so he went to the hospital one time. I think maybe he stopped playing basketball or something like that because he broke his arm. And he went to the hospital one time. And the doctor who was attending to him had broken his arm before. And he was told that he couldn't play basketball again. And that was everything because he met someone who had been through the exact same thing. The doctor before him was just like, oh, you know, just do this, you get healed. Or, you know, just do this, take your meds, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the other doctor who spoke to him was speaking with a certain level of understanding and compassion because he had been through the same thing. And this is why it's great to always try and look for someone who you know, or someone who understands or sees life the same way you see it. And even with that person, takes me back to my first point, you don't always expect them to understand. You just expect them to be there. But I can assure you, it always helps if you have someone who you can have as an accountability partner, someone who has been through the same thing, someone who sees life the same way you see it, someone who interprets life in the same way you see it. Like, there's some problems that, you know, some of my friends, let's just say Daniel, for example, right? If I have certain problems, he's probably the first people I'll call out of the three of my friends. You know, I'll probably call three of them, but he's probably the first person I'll call because the way he sees life and the way I see life, they're so similar. And so we're likely to see life in the same way. So it always helps when you have someone who sees things from the same way that you see it. The next thing that I wrote down is, man, you have to be honest with how you feel. Look, we lie to ourselves a lot, man, especially us men. Like, as a man, I found myself telling myself all kinds of lies so that I still look like a man, but it doesn't really help. It doesn't really help, trust me, it doesn't help. Like, you need to be straight up honest with yourself. Like, if I remember having to write this down one day when I was going through a tough period, I remember I actually wrote it down. I was like, if you're hurt, say you're hurt. If you're broken, say you're broken. If you want to cry, say you want to cry. Like, it helps to be honest with yourself because you actually begin to address things for what they are and not for what you want them to be. Before you get to where you want things to be, you have to see things as what they are. So just be honest with yourself, man. If someone has said something to you and it hurt, you don't have to tell the person, but just tell yourself, look, man, that hurt me. And then straight up, like, just be honest with yourself, because what honesty does is honesty allows you to actually go deep to where things actually are. Because as human beings, we have the gift of being able to compartmentalize things. Like, we can deceive ourselves for the rest of our lives. I promise you. There's people out here deceiving themselves that they are men when they're women. That's no shade. There's people out here deceiving themselves that they have more than enough money when they don't have anything. There's people out here deceiving themselves that they're, you know, in a thriving relationship when they're being cheated on day in, day out. And they know, but they lie to themselves that, oh, it's not happening, just so they can stay comfortable. You actually need to be honest with yourself. Like, if you're hurt, I'm not saying you should go out and shout, tell the whole world you're hurt, but tell yourself that you are hurt, because it allows you to give yourself time. It allows you to sympathize with yourself. It allows you to you know, to just be nice to yourself, to be kind to yourself. When you tell yourself the truth and when you tell yourself things as they really are, then you have an explanation for everything else that follows. You know, if I tell myself straight up that I'm upset or I'm angry about something, if I don't pick up a call when someone calls me, I have an explanation for that for myself. It's like, oh, I'm not picking this up. Why? Because I'm angry. But when you don't have an explanation, it's like, I'm not picking up the phone. And you just don't know why you're not picking up the phone. So then it takes you back into that spiral space of confusion. It's like, what's going on? Like, I'm confused. One day it's like you're angry, or I just didn't feel like, oh, then you pick up the phone the next time, but you still have the anger inside of you that you haven't addressed. You need to be able to tell yourself the honest truth. And that really helps if you can also tell other people. It's just like, look, man, I'm hurt, man. I look like I'm broken. Or look like, man, I just don't feel like I'm being loved or like I'm being appreciated. Like, it really helps. Like, I think that's one thing that we all need to start to do. And that's be honest with ourselves. Because honesty really helps. It really does. Also, you have to give yourself time to feel. Like, just feel stuff, man. Like, sometimes you just need to sit down. I promise you. Sometimes you need to just sit down and cry. Like, I can't explain this thing to you. I remember... Where did I even get this from? Yeah, it was one of my friends, right? She told me, she was like, I think I've said this before. She was like, she schedules one day a week where she just cries. When she told me that, I was like, ah, she crazy, man. She's mad. Like, something's going on with her. Like, I couldn't understand it. But coming out of a really tough patch, I cannot tell you how many times I cried. Like, I probably cried every day. On some days, I probably cried like 2 times or 3 times. Like, I would just cry. Like, I legit would just sit down in my room and I'll just cry. For no reason. Well, sometimes I had reasons to cry, but sometimes it's just like, it was just a lot, man. Like, you couldn't voice out what was going on. Like, you couldn't understand why everything was happening. So it was just like, just cry. And I actually went to go and research on why, like, I should cry, because apparently crying makes you feel better. And I won't lie to you, many times I felt better. And I'm reading something off penmedicine.org, a website. It says when we cry, we are actually relieving our body of countless toxins and hormones that contribute to elevated stress levels. This in turn can help an individual to sleep better, strengthen their immune system, and avoid gaining weight. I ain't trying to gain weight, but yeah. By lowering our stress levels, crying may also help lower our blood pressure. Another website, which is webmd.com, says emotional tears also contain more mood regulating magnesium than other types. Stress tightens muscles and heightens tensions, So when you cry, you release some of those tensions. It says crying activates the parasympathetic nervous system and restores the body to a state of balance. Look, man, I didn't know any of this when I was crying, but like when you cry, it's just like you just feel like you've gotten rid of a lot of stuff. Like you've gotten rid of a lot of things, you've gotten rid of a lot of toxins, a lot of stress, a lot of emotions. Like you just let it go. You don't know where it goes to, but it's just gone, and it works. So like, cry. Like just try crying. Like just play some, I don't know, play some music, like something with ambience, and just try and cry, because crying actually helps. And this is why I strongly hate the rhetoric that men shouldn't cry. Or like women who, I mean, everyone has their own spec. Like if you don't like men that cry, that's a personal problem. I will cry if I need to cry, and many times I probably will need to cry, so I'm gonna cry. Like I cry when I have to cry, or when I just feel like it's good to cry. So that's your personal problem. To all the men out there, if you cry, it doesn't make you any less of a man. I can guarantee you that. I cry a lot when I still get hit on, literally every day. Just saying. Doesn't diminish my work in any way. Doesn't affect how much money I make. Doesn't affect the kind of ideas that I have. It just makes me a human being. So cry if you have to. It's okay to feel stuff. Feel stuff if you need to. That's who you are. Man, don't let anybody try and put you in the box. Not society, no pressure. Just cry if you have to, man. It always helps to feel things. Like, you have to be able to feel. Being in touch with your emotions makes you human. It makes you more relatable. It makes you who you are, right? Because we don't exist to be construed beings. We're made to be expressive beings. And we express ourselves in different ways. One of those ways is crying. And everyone can cry. Everyone has tears in their eyes. Everyone can cry. So cry if you need to. That's just my own way of seeing things, man. Apologies if you don't see it that way. Another thing that I wrote down was don't be alone for too long. Sometimes you need your space. You need to be alone. You need to be able to, like, you know, just take time out and just rest and just feel stuff by yourself. Sometimes you need that personal space. You don't need to be around people. Like, sometimes people don't help. So it's okay to take time and just be alone. Just enjoy. You know, I'd play some soft jazz in the background. I'll light candles in my room, scented candles in my room. Turn off all the lights. And just feel, man. I just be alone. I just think and just meditate and just trade those negative emotions for like the positive ones. Just tell myself it'll be all right. Just breathe in, breathe out. And I used to enjoy those moments. Like I would tell my friends, oh, like I'm busy, or I'll switch off my phone so no one calls me just so I can spend time alone. That's good because it allows you to be with yourself. And sometimes you have to be the one to comfort yourself. You have to be the one to tell yourself it's going to be okay. On other occasions, though, you need people around you. Like, don't be alone for too long. Because if you're alone for too long, you can start to have some very irrational thoughts. It's always great to have people around you every now and then to sort of steer you in the right direction, to sort of, like, comfort you. Because that external comfort is also good. So there's a balance. You can spend time by yourself, but you must also spend time with people. So don't be alone for too long. And obviously, I say that because if you're alone for too long, then it gives you more time to, you know, yeah, to just do stuff that you should not do or that we strongly don't want you to do. So try not to be alone for too long. Have people check up on you every now and then. Give someone access to your house or to your apartment every now and then where they can check up on you, bring you food. That feeling of having friends check up on you and having friends around every now and then really helps, man. And again, it's why I'm grateful for my friends, man. Like, my friends would just pop up at the house random times. I don't even know how Tito gained access into my house, but Tito legit popped up in my room one day. And I was just like, how did you get in here? So yeah, it's always great to have people check up on you every now and then. People around you, people take you out. Go get drinks, even though you're hurting. It's fine. Take a shot, take two shots. Don't get drunk. Oh, I'm saying you should get drunk, please. Take a shot, take two shots. feel something, come back home, cry again, rinse, repeat. But yeah, don't be alone for too long. It's always great to have people around you every now and then. And obviously, the last thing that I wrote here, which is probably the most liberating thing of all, is that the solution to your problem is inside of you. Now, this is not some aspire to perspire, and like, I'm off that vibe. But the solution to your problem is always within you. The reason is because you can trace everything to something that has either happened to you or something that you've seen. Everything, every problem can be traced back to you. It can be traced to either your upbringing or how you see life. Something is always traceable back to you. I'll give you two examples to make it practical. Right. So, when you're dealing with heartbreak, heartbreak hurts, right? Someone else, we tend to think somebody has hurt me, right? Somebody has disappointed me, right? Somebody has made me feel bad. Somebody has left me, all that stuff. Usually, we do not see or interpret that heartbreak in light of the fact that if we go back within us, inside of us, there has been a point in our lives where something has left us that we did not want to leave. It could be anything, but something has left us that we did not want to leave. So we are now attaching that heartbreak experience to the previous experience that we've had. So that previous experience is what sets the precedence for how we interpret the heartbreak. I this is as practical as I can make it seem. A lot of times in my life, like, I have lost things that I didn't necessarily value, right? Things that I just didn't value. And my reaction to that is just, oh, well, we get another one. Or, oh, well, we just buy another one. Oh, well, you know, mommy will get me another one. My parents will get me another one. My dad will get me another one. And I realized that when I lost some friendships that I didn't necessarily value and some relationships I didn't value and the person left, I was just like, well, I still have my good friends or my great friends. So it didn't get to me that much. And I realized that the precedent for that was set in my upbringing and in previous experiences, where it's like I lose something that I maybe have a lot of or something that I didn't necessarily value. And I was just like, well, yeah, another one. So when someone who I don't necessarily attach so much value to, or someone who doesn't play a pivotal role in my life, when that person leaves, well, I still have what adds value to me and the things that I value, so I'm not going to feel that thing as much. I had already set the template and the blueprint for how I would process the experience of something that I don't really value leaving me in my past. The same thing happens when you're heartbroken or someone leaves you. In your past, you have lost something before, something that you valued. It had left you. And your reaction to that then is what has set the template for how you react to the heartbreak when something you really value leaves you. When I realized this, it just blew my mind. Like, it just blew my mind completely. Another example is how we make friends. Now, when we usually think of making friends, we usually just think, oh, we meet someone who we vibe with, someone who we like, and then we gel, we have a nice conversation, and then, oh, we keep on being in touch and being in touch and being in touch, and then, you know, we become great friends. Well, the blueprint for that has been set in our upbringing, where we form an attachment to things that give us joy, things that give us peace, things that make us laugh. And then we constantly keep going back, and we keep going back, and we keep going back, and we keep going back to those things till we form a bond. It's the same thing that happens with friendships as we grow up and with addictions. We find something that gives us joy. And because we set the blueprint for how we interpret and how we relate with things that give us joy when we were growing up, we then follow up with that. And so we see something that gives us joy or makes us happy. And then we keep on going back and keep on going back and keep on going back and keep on going back. It's the same thing. The blueprint had always been set before. The template had always been set before. So you have to start to ask yourself, what is it in my past that I'm not addressing? What is it in my past that I need to go and revisit to sort of like dig up? I think of the first time that the first relationship that I, first real relationship that I actually had. And I realized that when it came to relationships with women, that first relationship showed me a lot. It set a lot of precedents for how I related with men along the way. And until I went back to that relationship to address some hurts that had happened in that relationship, I just knew that, look, man, this was going to set the template for everything that I'd done. So in the first relationship I had, I was with someone who understood me a lot. Someone who, you know, like, probably could complete my sentences. Someone who just, I mean, it was just great, man. It felt great. And the next relationship I got into, that wasn't the case, because this person probably didn't understand me half as much as I understood them. And I used to get frustrated a lot. And I had to wonder, like, wait, why does this keep happening, right? And it's now that I think about it, I realize that, wow, like, I start, the first relationship I set, sets the templates and the precedents for how I interpreted every other relationship. And so I was always interpreting that relationship in light of my first relationship. Look, guys, it sounds so easy, but I promise you, it's the most revealing thing ever. Ever. So that's why I say the solution is within you. You always have something. You can, things that happen, you always have something to relate them to in your past and your upbringing. I think it was Jay-Z who was talking about this on a particular podcast. He was saying that, you know, like, back when he used to live in the hood, like, he'd see these gang members and he looks at them, right? And they're like, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? And they become so aggressive. They become really mad aggressive. And he was like, wait, hold on a second. Like, I just looked at you. Like, why are you getting so feisty? And then he was like, he started to understand from therapy that the reason why they get so feisty is because they think that he sees their vulnerability and he sees their brokenness inside and he sees their weakness inside. But literally, like, he doesn't see Jack. He just sees a human being. But those gang members interpret everything based off something. So they interpret him looking at them as him being able to see their weakness and their brokenness inside. And so they react in that way. So how do you react to the things that go on around you? You can always find the blueprint for it in your past. You can always find the blueprint for it in your past. You like guys who are aggressive, you can always find a blueprint for it in your past. You can always find a blueprint for it in your past. You don't like guys that are aggressive, you can always find a blueprint for it in your past. You like money, like enjoyment, like having a good time. And chances are you probably grew up in a family where affluence wasn't a problem. You can always find a blueprint in your past. You can always find a blueprint in your past. So when you're dealing with stuff, issues of the heart, that place a lot of weight on you, chances are you probably just need to sit down and reflect and see why you feel that way. And you can always find a blueprint in your past. I wish that my friend would have just sat down, maybe spoken to someone, gone back to his past and looked at the reasons why he felt what he felt and would have had the opportunity to heal and the opportunity to address them and the opportunity to seek solutions to his problems. I wish that he would just have had the opportunity and the chance to just speak to someone for one last time about it, and not just cloud it, and not just act like it was all good. I know he done the best he could, and I just wish that was better for him, for a lot of other people. So yeah, this is my episode this week, guys. It's a bonus episode because it's so important to me. I'm really concerned and I'm really I'm really touched by people's experiences when they go through mental health issues. Like I said, I've been there. And I kind of know what it feels like to some degree. And, you know, like, I just had to not expect everyone to understand. But with that, I had to try and find someone who I could hold account, who could hold me accountable, like an accountability partner. Thankfully, I was honest enough with myself to tell myself I was hurt, and I let myself feel what I needed to feel, and I let myself cry for days. And with that came me not being alone for too long. And that helped me understand that I had the responsibility of finding the solution within myself. The problem is in them sometimes. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. But regardless of where the problem lies, the solution can always be within. Always. So if we just have the strength to look inside of us, and I'm sure a lot of us would be better. It takes strength, and I just hope you'll have the strength to do it. Sunset Podcast, I'll see you guys in the next episode.
No such thing. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours.
Love yours.
No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing, no such thing.
Heart beating fast.